Sit right back and you'll hear a tale. No, that's actually not enough people. Anyway, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Van Patten, as always, joined by Denise Tapscott,
Hi,
Kirk
everyone.
Johnson, and Mark Abbott, who brought a new pet to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I by show of hands, guys, who else even knew like this submersible culture even existed? Because I certainly had no idea that people were hopping in giant snow globes and floating down into the ocean for any reason outside of studying marine life and maybe trying to figure out how to, get plastic out of the ocean or maybe something useful. You know, I imagine that there's all kinds of devices and all kinds of things to play for all that, but this whole just joyriding around the Titanic, like I like what, huh? Like I missed that memo.
I'm not surprised that it's happened that you have billionaires paying money to take a trip on a in a in a submersible into the deep depths of the ocean for whatever thrill they want. I mean, motherfuckers go to
To go
safaris
to
to shoot
space, yeah.
their space and go to safaris to shoot endangered species for how long already? So I'm not surprised. What surprised me is that the motherfuckers had a Nintendo controller
Controller, yeah.
as a drive as a steering wheel. That surprised me.
Yeah, me
That
too. You have all
kind
this
of surprised me.
money, and
And you're
you're gonna
using a
cheat.
Nintendo controller. Yeah, that
Right. Yeah.
I forgot about that. Actually, that's pretty crazy.
You should actually see what a steering wheel of a Grand Prix car looks like. It looks like a Xbox joystick.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I think I'd be all right.
if you ever look at it, you're like, you're driving at almost
Like
200
120
miles an
miles.
hour
Miles
with
an
that
hour.
thing.
Yeah. I've seen him use the joy like a joystick on an actual submersible. I've seen that,
No,
and
you're no, but I'm saying it looks
and
like
using
a punch pad. It looks like
like a punch pad, right?
it looks
And
like an Xbox controller.
but now,
And I guess we saw stuff similar to this in different movies, like I guess
Titanic.
you've seen
You're stupid.
Titanic, damn it. Oh wait, no, maybe in the beginning when they're looking over the iceberg. All right, okay, right. So
That was
that,
a robot.
and of course that
Yeah.
meant that's a robot, and but it does
Yeah.
kind of explain
But
why
they're
James
using controller.
Cameron was being interviewed over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like
Like that would be the guy to talk to.
I didn't see that much. I don't see that much of you when you're promoting one of your movies. Now, like you're on
Oh.
CNN for literally a day. So that was
Right.
interesting. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. And what's that other movie? The Abyss.
The Abyss.
I wanted to
Right.
say
Oh,
something
yeah.
wrong.
James is stuck with all of that underwater stuff.
He
Apparently
loves
he's
that
a
Ottawa
yeah,
stuff.
apparently he's a part of that culture.
Yeah,
That's
I guess
he's
so.
like really like, because apparently according to a thing I was reading today, he had already told that guy that the submersible that he built was not going to withstand
Pressures.
the pressure of the deep. But they also talked to a father and son who, at the last minute, decided not to go because they were not convinced it was safe. And they said this guy did not want to hear anything other than the sound of his own voice. So anytime they were like, "Well, what about this? What about it?" He didn't want to. He was like, "You're not going to tell me what I'm doing is like, you know." And he was giving him a discount to go and everything. I mean,
Discount.
he's gone.
I'm
He'll take off
sorry.
$10,000 if he wants to go.
Right.
He actually took off 100,000 to get them to go. And they said, and the father said, either the father or the son said that when they went to meet him, he showed up in his own experimental airplane. And the guy was like, "I have a helicopter's license. I would not fly in anything that's experimental." So this guy was on a different level of his own hype.
I don't know. I think that's a
And
murder-suicide situation.
I mean, I mean, my thing is that I think the thing that hurts me over this is that that thing imploded.
Yeah.
This is not like, yeah. Like you, they were crushed to death.
Yeah.
Instantly.
And,
yeah, but
and,
there was.
And I mean, I, you know what it is? It's like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the jokes and everything, but people will stand outside for 2.5 days in the rain to buy some Jordans mm-hmm. when their rent right. is due.
Mm-hmm.
People will go to Comic-Con nah, and
that's,
drop.
Wait, hold on. Stop, Mark. That's those are two totally different.
No. Listen,
it's kind of like it's totally
to
different. It's
I'm
like,
talking about people were making comments about the fact that they spent that kind of money to yeah. do that. And yeah. my thing is that
instead of spending
people
it on,
will do what they want with their money.
Their money,
right, yes. right,
right.
To the
with
thing
other people's
is
money.
That people are mm-hmm. making fun of them for doing that, and yeah. then basically saying, "Well, you got what you deserve." And yeah. I think, and there's a level of discompassion for that. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't laugh at that because mm-hmm. it's like someone talked you into believing that. I mean, you don't know left from right. You don't know whether or not the according to him, it worked, yeah. and you got on this thing without like nobody's school like. If there were all these people that knew, first of all, this man shouldn't even be in business. Agreed. If James Cameron is saying, well, I warned him, so you motherfuckers don't report this guy? He's taking civilians down to the deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
And you knew. Yeah. And yeah. everybody's sort of like, well, you know, the people, they were stupid for spending their money on that. And my point, Kirk, is that people will do what they want with their money. I'm not saying... Mm. It's, but I mean, but if my point was, if you had a choice, if your landlord said your rent is due Friday, and you're like, yeah. oh, you know what? But them new Jordans ain't coming out on Friday. I'm gonna have to figure out a way to get around that. Like, we don't really like if you were made fun of for doing that, people be like, yo, yeah. fuck you, man. I do what I want with my own money.
People already do. Yeah, don't make fun of people
they
for doing
make
that
bad
same
choices.
Thing. We actually, community-wise, even as Americans, mm-hmm. we will come down on somebody who does shit like that. Because, I mean, part of the context of it is, you poor. You're living in poverty.
Yeah, yeah.
And these cats who went and did this thing, they aren't. I think the other part is that we have to take in consideration is the climate that we are now living in. Mm-hmm. Where we have seen people become billionaires at the expense of other people's lives mm-hmm. who aren't millionaires, who aren't billionaires, who have to work mm-hmm. for their living. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that, I think that has a lot to do with the vitriol and the lack of compassion for
yeah.
the victims of this maniac and his cardboard submersible.
Yeah.
Taking that in consideration, also a week earlier that no one knew about was the tragedy of refugees sailing to Greece from Libya mm-hmm. and 700 of them dying.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no type of any type of effort to even try to save them or anything. It was pretty much like, well, they're fucking refugees, man. We should close the borders, man. We have a refugee problem. We can't, you know what I mean?
If I remember correctly, I do remember something about a rescue attempt, but I also remember something to the effect of the rescue attempt actually made things worse.
Because
what
no.
ended up happening yeah. is they kind of split the boat open trying to pull it.
Oh.
So that's right. I mean, I'm just
dang.
No, and
that's worth
and,
mentioning.
Right. And that's a great great way of saying, hey, let's do the least for these people then. Because there are ways you could have saved them without having to split the fucking boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, money could have, they really could have put more resources towards that.
But how many days did, I mean, the way the conversation has been going, it's like the submersible lost contact and immediately four countries ran to try and save these people. That's not what happened. They were down there for quite a while before, and it was the Coast Guard that showed up. before anything. Like the way the early talks were, you would have thought they sent the military to look for these people. But the Coast Guard went over there. And it may also have something to do with wreckage rules I'm not a maritime person, so I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if the Titanic site is monitored, if it's one of those things where it's like, if you go near there, we're going to come over there to see what you're doing. Right. I don't even know if this man had permission to even go down there. You know,
I guess he would have had permission, because
if he didn't, then that's
he probably needs some kind of permit. Yeah.
I mean, but here's the thing. If you had a permit to do it, they would have had to check the submersible. I would think that the law would state, we got to see what you're going down there in before you go down there. Before,
you would think, but one thing about being a rich white person is, I get to go around,
right? Right.
So it could just be that.
Yeah.
It could just be that.
Yeah. A mortician online on TikTok, they said that with the implosion, it would have happened so fast that their brains wouldn't even have registered what happened. So they didn't really, I mean, I hate to say it, but they didn't suffer like the refugees would have suffered, drowning in all that water.
Yeah.
The people on the submarine, it was like instant. And the mortician, instantaneous. And they said that you won't find any bodies. You might find pieces, but the way it imploded, they're not going to find anything.
Pieces. That does sound terrible.
But they wouldn't have registered it at all. It would have been like an instant death compared to these people trying to swim to survive and, you know, not get eaten by sharks and stuff.
Right.
Sharks.
Yeah.
not, the more you think about it, you know, I mean, it is definitely like it's. And what's really crazy, I don't know if you guys knew this. Somebody just hit me to this yesterday. As usual, The Simpsons.
Yes!
Fucking predicted a submersible thing back in 2007.
Yes. Simpsons, man. Oh no, it's for real.
I don't know. I don't even know what to say to that. I'm just reporting it. You know?
They're always on it. Yeah.
Freaking Simpsons.
Yeah. Like, Simpsons, man.
Like
a number one fan.
I'm guessing Matt Koning, the drugs that he is taking must just somehow connect him to the universe. Like,
right.
I don't know what it's like, some weapons grade weed, maybe it's some mushroom that Kirk hasn't found yet.
Probably not.
Or peyote? Something along. Maybe.
Mix it up.
Could be, but fuck.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Could be MK Ultra.
You know what? I don't even know what that is.
I probably don't want to know.
I'll tell you all about it later. It's actually pretty interesting.
Oh, my stars.
They made a horror movie. They made a horror movie about it. It's actually pretty interesting.
So I take it this isn't something you...
No, this is some CIA shit.
Oh.
CIA torture shit. Torture experimentation shit.
Yikes.
MK Ultra.
And I want to welcome all the government agencies that have now joined us. Now that Kirk Johnson has brought up the CIA.
Hey, guys, if you're watching, bitches, come check me. I ain't got no money and I don't give a damn. I got no guns and no
today,
money.
Anyway, today. Plus, the internet is wicked. They kept saying you would not find no black people on the submarine.
the dumbest thing was somebody said.
That's a fact. Yeah. The internet's just wicked. It's wicked.
Well, my favorite was, I'm white. But I'm not getting a submarine to go look at the Titanic white.
Right. I saw that too. It's like, ding.
One dude said, you know, black people getting on that submersible because the ocean done took enough of us already.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah.
And then there's that part.
And then there's that. I'm available for parties, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, he is.
He's here all week. Yeah. Tip your servers.
No. It's the comedy of Kirk Johnson, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be opening up for the Gap Band at the Apollo next week.
Oh my God.
He will be on the party train. Mm. So anyway, switching gears, at least until we're going to get back to the submersible thing in a in a way. We should talk some horror shit because, you know, there's lots of stuff floating around.
We kind of just started it already. We already started it, actually.
Literally. Well, yeah.
Implosion is pretty horrible.
Implosion.
Thing. Yeah.
James Cameron brings you. Yeah, exactly.
In closing,
watch your hand,
Stephen Van Patten.
I know. Make sure you feed that thing later.
Exactly.
You'll be all right.
Hope so. I know. I literally just started from so far. It's amazing. What?
From where?
I'm a big Harold Perrineau fan anyway. He's so happy with himself right now.
Yes. Look at that smile.
I don't know what's funnier, that joke or the fact that he beat me to it. Because I was about to be like, from where, Kurt?
Anyway, for those of you that don't know or understand why I'm being mocked by these two, From is a great horror series, at least from what I've seen so far. It's on Amazon Prime for those of you that are still shelling out for that kind of stuff. So far, really, really spectacular. But I know one thing we touched upon, and we might have talked about it a little bit, but I think now since Mark has seen it, Evil Dead Rising.
Yes.
Is a recent landing in the horror genre. And for those of you that are actually looking at us and not just listening to us on Apple or Spotify, I can tell you right now that the expression on Mark Abbott's face is one of, dare I say, dissatisfaction.
Disgust.
Dare.
So,
his arms are crossed.
The body language, and just I'm not having it kind of thing.
He got that look like after the boss tells you, I'm gonna need you to stay a little later.
It
won't be considered overtime. It'd be still considered regular time, but I'm gonna need you to stay a little later and pick up on so and so slack. That's that look.
Evil Dead, the recent installment, the franchise in general. What are your thoughts?
Oh, no.
Okay. So I was not impressed by it. It just seems to be, it was more of a regurgitation of the last two iterations of the Evil Dead franchise. And the thing is that it doesn't seem like this. See, I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but I checked out of the Evil Dead series after Army of Darkness. It's probably one of my least favorite of the series because... When Evil Dead 2 ended, I was left feeling like I was about to get one hell of a ride. Mm-hmm. And what I got was this kind of buffoonish, cartoonish movie that was, I wasn't sure what it was trying to do. It wasn't scary. And I mean, I guess to some degree, I mean, it was funny in its own way.
Yeah.
I mean, people who liked the jokes and everything, the jokes weren't, But I was like, why did we suddenly turn left? Why did we suddenly go down this road where Ash is sort of this...
Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but he became like the Connecticut court jester. And it was just sort of like, okay, so now I really can't take this seriously. When the series came on, I loved the first episode. And then it fell right back into that feeling of, I kind of get this feeling like the Evil Dead can't do any more than it does. Right. There's no way for it to grow because it's this one focused thing. Mm-hmm. So once the book is read, What do? We do the same thing. We recycle the same thing over. The thing possesses somebody, and that person goes on a rampage, and it starts making, and it's giggling, and it's making jokes. And I mean, it wasn't really too much comedy to this one.
No,
it wasn't anything to really laugh in Evil Dead Rising.
No, but, not at all.
But I got, but after a while, I got tired because I was like, okay, this is a different iteration of this book. So we changed it from what it looked like with the original Necronomicon. We kind of got an instance where this guy tried to read it, and the people at his church were like, "Have you lost your mind? Don't read that thing."
Right.
Yeah.
But then I don't understand. There's like there's no purpose to this book. Like once this thing comes out, that's it. Like it's.
Yeah.
It wreaks havoc, and then where do we go with it? So I kind of was like, okay, I thought, well, maybe we're going to go in a different direction with this. This was going to be, you know, they were going to, because even in this, they don't really figure out how to stop it. You know, they figured out in the second film, and then, you know, they never did anything with it. But I mean,
yeah,
it's one of those things where I said, you know, 15-year-old me would have loved this film
because
it's full of gore.
Yeah,
it's really not. It's got no plot. It's really, you know, it's just
right, good. Right.
It's just pure entertainment. Much like the Friday the 13th and the Freddy's, and the, you know, I mean, you know, we could beat a dead horse all day long with all of these series,
right. But
for some reason, the Evil Dead just rubs me. It rubs me the wrong way because I'm expecting more out of it. I'm expecting them to build off of it other than this invisible thing that runs through trees and, you know, and then infects somebody and then possesses them and then does all this weird stuff with no, I guess, no
context, without context.
Purpose?
Yeah, no context. Yeah. No,
like,
purpose.
I think
no
like,
direction.
It was like, just... I've come to take over the world, or I'm looking for particular people and I'm going to breed this army. There's one thing, but it's just sort of like, I'm in your apartment, I'm terrorizing your kids. Hide your kids, hide your wife. you know, we going to find you. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So I was sort of like, I love Raimi. I love his work. But this is one of those things where I'm like, dude, if you're not going to do anything else with this, let it go. Like, let
it die. Is
let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Yeah, to me, it just felt like you're just like, oh, more checks in the mail for somebody. That's how it felt to me. Like, okay, you're going to get paid. You're going to, it could be trash. Doesn't matter. You're still going to get paid for it. It's like, but I can't get that time back. You know, thanks for nothing.
I think what happens also is that a lot of these franchises, like we're kind of treating them like name brand, and we're being like name brand whores because, like, I'll give you an example. After the first three Saw movies, I was kind of like where Mark is with the Saw franchise. Like, okay, I get it. I don't need to watch this. I don't need to watch another one of these. Okay. Right. I did watch Spiral because of Chris Rock and Sam Jackson.
Yeah, that's but what I mean to see. I need to see that one.
But after that, and Spiral was okay. The only problem is like Chris Rock's humor was sometimes used in the course of the movie, and it kind of took you out of the movie because you're being reminded, oh yeah, that's right. It's Chris Rock.
Right. Unlike his Fargo.
He was great in Fargo. Oh, there you go.
Unlike Fargo. Yeah.
There you go.
It's like Final Destination.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, how many times can you, we already got it. We're not going to cheat death.
Right.
I mean, but how many times
coming for you? Get,
you know, how many times are we going to, you know, try to run away from this thing and it keeps happening and Scream. They got another Scream movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where he came
like Scream New York, right?
Yeah, New York. And I watched 30 minutes of that and I was like,
The four of us are never going to give that Mandalorian thing. We are never giving that up. We're going to be using that for the rest of our lives. We'll be in a fucking up. We'll be in the old folks' home. No. You don't want any more oatmeal, Mr. Abbott? No.
And maybe maybe I'm being a little too, I guess I'm a little too harsh on the franchise, because, all the franchises are the same way. They don't really go anywhere, but it's like.
But we keep going because I think we're expecting.
We're hoping
for something fresh.
Right. Well, that's why Jordan Peele's slip comes out like, oh my gosh. Like when Get Out came, you're like, what? Something totally different, some fresh, a different kind of fear on different levels. Mm-hmm. So we're still hoping that.
You know what's messed up about that too? As much as I like what Jordan Peele is doing, other people just are not ready for it. And I guess because his stuff isn't, the same cookie cutter thing we will get from Friday the 13th like or anything else like out, that. Yeah. Jason coming out. and his stuff's not overly gory, except for maybe the chimp thing with
more like speculative fiction horror, really, than horror.
You know what I feel like, not too sure who to be mad at. Maybe that's just maybe that's a community problem.
Hmm.
I feel like Jordan Peele is attempting to, or maybe he is succeeding in some way, at least. To occupy the space that Alfred Hitchcock held for the longest time. Yeah. And to be honest with you, I don't think people were expecting that from a black man.
Ding. Agreed. Yeah. Totally agree. I think M. Night Shyamalan also tried a little bit, but again, you have like that brand, but then it starts falling short to some people. Mm-hmm. Some people just don't get it.
With M. Night Shyamalan, his plots are what fucks him up.
Yeah. I mean, some are great and some are like, what just happened? Last one, I was like, they're supposed to be the four horsemen. I didn't even catch that right away.
The surprise endings, I guess he kept putting in his movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that became the thing. It was like after that first one, because I remember going to see Unbreakable. I went to see Unbreakable. I was like, what the hell is this? And then I saw it again. I was like, oh, he's a superhero. Okay. Right. I completely missed where he was going with that. Right. You know, I was like, because I guess my brain was waiting for something like I was waiting for some ultra supernatural thing to happen.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, so now I got to watch this from a different set of eyes. Mm-hmm. But then he himself, here you got The Happening.
Yeah.
And then you had the lady in.
Oh, I love that one, though. I love that one. But again, you didn't look at it through a different set of eyes. You have to watch it. Yeah.
I like Devil, which he didn't direct, but
his name was still associated with it. Yeah.
But
I like The Happening.
It was all right. But like compared to like Signs or The Sixth Sense, like.
I love Signs.
We're talking about like that.
Yeah, Signs was awesome.
I love Signs.
Wait, and then he fucked up with Avatar, and then it was over.
Oh, The Last Airbender, no. Yeah.
Yes. Boom, horrible.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hold my flower. How could you mess up the airbender so badly? Oh, my gosh. If I could light it up, I'd just torch it, man. That was horrible.
You know what? I sometimes I just feel sorry for these guys, because... You know the heart was in the right place.
Right.
Yeah.
Like tells me he was a fan of Airbender and was like, oh, this is my great chance to make. And then it was like, what the hell are you doing? It's like the lady in Ghostbusters when they first shot her with the proton pack, and she's like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, and I think, but the thing is with horror, though, and we unfortunately, a lot of times you do these movies and people put you on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Particularly if your first one, like, knocks it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Everybody everybody's expecting that kind of same feeling when they walk away from it. And then they're like, what? I don't understand what I just watched. That this was, you know,
totally different what you expected.
I mean, I don't know. Eli Roth did the same thing. I walked away, although Kirk isn't a big fan of the cannibal films.
Wait, but I just wasn't a fan of them. I just said they were like, oh my God.
Yeah. But it was like the green Inferno.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of sit there, and I was like, I remember watching Make Them Die Slowly when I was a kid and just being utterly horrified by this. And then there are moments where,
with all the respect, Mark, all the respect.
Yes.
Nigga, what was your childhood like? What do you mean you saw that shit when you were a kid? What do you mean you saw Cannibal Holocaust? What do you mean you saw that shit when you were a kid? My man. Okay.
Let me educate you, sir, on the finer points of the video store. back in the 80s when we had video stores.
Cosby on the TV.
Back in the 20th century.
I mean, when I was 8 and I had a chance to like get all types of video, man, I wasn't going for like, hey, this nigga's eating this other nigga's face. Let me get that.
Thus, we were trying to push the envelope. You know,
there may have been some eating going on, but not like
right.
No, right. But you know what it was? Because I grew up reading Fangoria magazine. So Fangoria magazine would always have these.
How old were you? How old were you?
I was in my teens. I was 13.
I was doing the same thing.
He's 13, and I was like 8 years old watching Cannibal Holocaust.
I remember the beginning of Creepshow with the kid reading Fangoria. I thought that was Mark.
No, reading
Fangoria going like this.
Trust me, when VCR when videos came out, you could not rent anything rated R, if you know, much like you couldn't go get into the theater without a parent or an adult.
Right.
You became a teenager, they had teenagers working in the store, so basically they were like, whatever you want except from the X-rated section of the store. That was the only section you could not get into. You could rent whatever you wanted because your friends were working behind the counter and you had your parents' account. So, of course, you know, when my father would go to sign the little card, he's like, what's slime ball Bolarama? The cannibals of the slime. What the, who the hell rented this? You know. Came home, was like, boy, what are you renting? What are you watching? Because, you know, you come home and you're like, you know, I got that movie that you wanted. That here's The Longest Day. Hey, Ma, here's Footloose. I'm gonna go over here. But my father's like, "What the devil's The Reanimator?" Oh, don't worry. Don't worry about that. That's not for you, Dad.
Nothing.
Yeah, I got you on that. Yep.
Yeah, you hooked everybody else in the house up with their favorite stuff. Yeah, they would ignore whatever it was you were watching. Although Love was horrifying. I didn't realize how violent of a movie that was.
Wait, the Italian version or the Brooke Shields version?
I'm talking the Brooke Shields version.
Oh, okay.
We rented that one night and watched that with our parents. It was like,
oh my.
Something wrong with this boy. Lionel Richie wrote a song for this movie?
He sure did.
Yes, he did.
Stars.
Wow. Goodness gracious. That's hilarious. Wow,
the good old video store.
As they say, don't fuck with Generation X.
Boom.
We've seen it all. We've seen things we shouldn't have seen.
Easily.
Yeah.
Real quick, funny thing. I was watching this some YouTube on people's first reactions to Conan the Barbarian, who've never seen it before, millennials and Z, and And I, what shocked me, what surprised me so much was them going like this. It was a great movie. It was so bloody. I'm like, wait, you didn't think it was? What made you think? Wait, what are you watching that's not bloody? If it take place in, it's Conan the Barbarian. What do you mean it's not? They loved it though, but it was just, I just find that so strange. Like, and then I realized, I kept thinking in my head, you know, there wasn't a lot of blood in The Witcher.
Right.
Or in Lord of the Rings or any other really fantasy movie where people are fighting. You don't see like Japanese, you know, practical effect blood coming out and people and stuff. Like, that's what they're,
now. I think when Conan came out, and I specifically remember
1982.
Yeah, I specifically remember an elaborate hooky scheme that I put in place so I could go see the movie. It's like I want to say that they weren't thinking about incorporating kids and action figures and things like that to that extent.
Well, why would they? Yeah.
No, they so because no one was thinking about that, they were able to stay truer to the source material. Kirk would probably be able to speak more on that than I can. Because I read a couple of Conan comics and I enjoyed the movie, but I wasn't exactly like, you know, immersed in that degree. But I imagine
you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head though. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And I just remember fast forwarding in time. I remember when Spawn came out. And Spawn basically ruined
PG-13.
It's PG-13 and we want to sell Happy Meals with Spawn on it. You know, so I think that that's kind of like the difference there. And same thing with Lord of the Rings and all that other stuff. They're thinking marketing campaign, they're thinking, you know, whatever. Even though I want to say some of the orc battles and there's a couple of decapitations and some things that.
Yeah.
But we're also in a more permissible time
overall
because violence has slowly escalated in movies over the years. Right. So
and real life.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, and in real life.
Because you can decapitate an orc. You can't decapitate a human.
Right.
None of the people who were getting catching a bad one from that orc war from the Battle of the Two Towers and shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With the orcs.
Were the orcs. You ain't see many of the regular guys like just catching really bad ones.
No. Mm-hmm.
You don't really catch an elf getting fucked up.
No.
Right. You see him jerk and fall and then like where the blood, nigga?
Right. Where's the elfin blood?
Where's the elfin blood? Can you take that nigga's head off? Cut off the ears or something?
Right.
We lived a charmed life, didn't we?
We did.
We sure. And you know what's messed up? Because I think back to the story Stephen told. I would never have seen Conan if James Earl Jones wasn't in it.
Mm. Right.
Oh, James Earl Jones is in this great. Wait, what the devil is this? Then my father, like, that man turned into a snake. He's like,
right.
Like, Jones.
I didn't know what to do. boy, Mark's sitting there looking like, now is he supposed to do that? And it's like shut up and watch the movie. You know, you got Scatman Crothers running around in The Shining. You know,
right?
And the Scatman Scruther fans who went, Scatman Scruther is going to be the Lord.
Right. Well, that
and your aunt and mom.
My aunt and my mother. Why'd they do that to a really bad thing for me? Yep. You know,
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do for your birthday, Steve? I want to see The Shining. And one of the selling points, you know.
Scatman Crothers.
Who, you know, my mother and aunt, you know, they both, older women from Alabama. So they're, you know, on the initial presentation, they're fine to see him and doing his thing and whatever. Mm-hmm. And shout out to whoever designed his bedroom, by the way, because that velvet painting is just life. The velvet painting is
They did that to my mother when she went to, they told me it was a George Clooney movie, and you know how I love George Clooney. And then there were vampires in the middle of Mom, what did you rent? Oh, it's called, you'd like it. It's called
right
Dusk, From Dusk Till Dawn. From
Dusk Till Dawn.
Mama, why are you watching?
Yeah. I tell you, if our parents aren't traumatizing us, we're traumatizing our parents. So
pretty much
that's what horror will do sometimes. So you know, we haven't played a game in a while.
This is true.
So in honor of
remembrance of
honoring right, not that we're honoring anybody here, but one thing that kind of opened up on the internet this week is, of course, things that rich people do with their money that isn't necessarily beneficial to anybody. So with that in mind, we're gonna play an exciting new game. Sure to be the second least favorite game show in America, right behind Name That Racist. And here it is, folks.
Okay.
Better things rich people can do with their money.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, wait. You know what? I messed up. Hold on. I forgot.
Oh, you know what he has to get.
I forgot my Gene Rayburn microphone. Here we go.
There it is.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, folks. You know, frustrated game show host. You know, right. You already know this. Anyway.
Oh, my stars.
Here's how the game is played. I am going to say a word.
Okay.
And we are going to go around robin between Denise, Kirk, and Mark. That's the order we'll go in.
Okay.
And.
Oh, no.
The idea is to take this word, whatever the word is, take this word and turn this into something rich people can do to better society. And whoever has the most creative answer wins. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready as I'm going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denise.
Mark, you good, Mark? Okay. You ready, Mark?
Mark's born ready.
Ooh.
Mark's born ready.
Ooh,
I tell you, professor, yes.
He's the Charles Nelson Reilly of my game shows. So he's always ready.
Only
and for those of you that don't know who Charles Nelson Reilly is, just look it up. Yeah. Okay. Here's the first word. Bootstraps. Denise, you're
bootstraps. Up. Bootstraps. Instead of rich people designing exorbitant fancy bootstraps from Gucci and Coach and telling people to pull themselves up by bootstraps, perhaps they could invest more time and money into classes for a community to teach them how to be financially strong and financially independent.
Very nice, Kirk.
You know, on a stem on a bootstraps, they could actually set up grants and schooling for cobblers, for leather workers and cobblers, and set up actual little local shops for leather and cobbler repair, shoe repair, leather repair in these all little neighborhoods. Because real talk, there's only one in my neighborhood. There's literally only one. And from here, there used to be one down by J Street Borough Hall. They ain't there no more.
Yes.
So there's one dude in my neighborhood from going, I would say from Bed-Stuy, Williamsburg, Bushwick, that you can take your shoes to get repaired. That one guy. We need more little independent mom and shop shoe repair shops.
Okay. Mark Abbott, you're up.
Ooh. Well.
You wake up, man.
No. I was trying to think of what what rich folks could do with their money, whereas it pertains to bootstraps. More direct internal on the job training and advancement, creating new divisions rather than having someone move up, move over. So, you know that guy that's 78 years old and refuses to retire? Well, take the guy that's under him that should get that position, move him over to something new and expand a company that will allow that person to move on and do other things.
Okay.
Right. Interesting. All right. General consensus. Which one of those was the most creative?
Denise.
Yeah, Denise. I think mine was.
I go with that. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, hey. Yeah. Scott wins the first round.
Yay!
And to be fair, I kind of saw that coming. Anyway, so the next word, hunger. And you know what, to make it interesting, we'll go in reverse order. So, Mr. Abbott, you're up.
Mr. Born Ready.
Yeah.
That's thanks. Right.
Hunger. Here's an interesting idea. Free fruit gardens.
Mm.
Yeah.
All those vacant lots that we have, rather than putting more buildings there, create gardens where fruit is grown and people in the neighborhood can go and pick from the trees and get free fruit.
Mm.
It doesn't cost much to plant the trees to keep the soil rich. You can have people that look over these urban gardens. I mean, a real urban garden. Mm. And where people can then go and rather than stand on a 4.5-hour line at a soup kitchen, they can go down the street, go into one of these places, pull an apple off a tree, pull an orange. I mean, more exotic fruits are harder to grow, but they could do that rather than putting up more housing that is not affordable. I said what I said.
All right.
Yes,
Kirk Johnson.
I guess incentivizing the chain supermarkets that you own as a billionaire and a millionaire. To not throw away food that has not expired. It's food that has not expired, but a lot of these places are throwing away this good food. It's incentivizing them to donate them to different pantries and shelters and the places that people are starving. Also, create a some form of infrastructure where farmers who had overproduced certain foods don't also have to throw those away, like cheeses and milks. Like, the waste is ridiculous on what goes on in the wholesale market system, right?
Right.
You know, just put money towards that and put more money towards the researching of food preservation, as well as not even, because we make so much, we actually have so much an abundance of food, but food preservation and allowing it to be used by people who can't afford them. Whether it's, I don't know, man, like giveaways or something. You can't just wasting so much of this food that we have, and the fucking world is like going hungry. That's just crazy.
All right. Two really good ones there, Denise. What do you got?
Well, instead of investing in super expensive high-lined restaurants, and trying to just make more money with more rich people with, you know, fancy schmancy food, I think that they should invest in programs that feed third world countries, places where you can't even get like decent water. I think that places like in Africa and India, where people are literally starving and dying every day, they need to invest in programs to help feed those people, not just little rice and beans, but like actual decent meals, so that the world is on a higher scale, that the problem isn't about people starving to death. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Scoring time. This is a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'll just go ahead and kick it down and I'll kick it to Kurt. Yes.
Me.
Can't pull for you, so.
Mostly Kurt. Programs in Los Angeles that they're actually they're starting to do that with the waste, as well as Las Vegas. They do have programs in place to do.
I was kidding, actually. I meant Denise. She took over. It was a world thing. She actually looked at the world instead of just like a small pocket of our country, because hunger is not just our country.
Okay. Yeah. True.
It is a world thing.
Mark.
So what you're saying is that my urban garden was only structured for America. You didn't think I was talking about the rest of the world. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't
say it. Well, I guess.
If you send that dog after me, man, that nigga ain't coming back
home.
Just the knife.
Listen.
I will Tarzan that little nigga.
He's not that little, if memory serves. But
he ain't.
But some Empire Strikes Back.
You're right.
Well, since I didn't say it.
Semantics.
Wow.
Yeah, you feel that, right?
Wait.
Ooh, the shade.
Hold on. Let me get my Ricardo Montalban over here.
Oh, not the Ricardo.
Oh,
yes, he did.
Don't it sound like intelligence, Kirk? So, you think because I didn't say the world that I didn't mean the world? Kirk, I will let you die. I vote for Denise.
All of that for Denise to now have 2 points.
Okay. Merci beaucoup, mon cher. Merci.
Oh my God. All right. We're running short on time here, I think. So I'm gonna throw one more out.
Okay.
Politics.
Oh man.
And we'll go right back to the leader here, just like they do on Jeopardy. Denise, you're up.
Politics. I think that the uber rich should not invest so much in like their favorite lobbyists or their favorite fundraising campaign gobbledygook. Instead of all this money backing like their friends in politics, they should invest more in education so that people really understand like what government is supposed to do. Because half the time, like you guys are talking about gerrymandering, and I was like, gerrymandering? Did I learn about gerrymandering? Yeah, I learned it in junior high, but it didn't like stick. Right. The people need to be, we need more education about government and how things are supposed to work, and less about, oh, I'm going to pay this guy off so that he can help me and my buddies be more successful and have less tax write-offs and stuff. That's what I think.
So in other words, stop being such greedy dicks.
Yeah.
And let's
educate more people.
Progress
yeah.
The way it should.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's fair. I like that. All right. Thank you. Mr. Johnson, what you got?
Thank you back a little bit on that. Rich people being who they are, it's always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Where they always want more money and it's greed and the whole thing. But I think if the rich people actually, if they incentivize the government, say, hey, I will put this much money of a budget into this city's educational system.
Mm.
Where every school in the city, every school in the county, every school in the state has adequate and up to date technology, computer system, the whole shebang.
Mm.
Right. And you match that, and and this actually goes to the schools. Like, they also like put money into like regulation and enforcement of this policy, like for real. So there's no such thing as, well, just because this school is a fucking, you know, high school football star of the state,
mm-hmm.
they're getting all this money and all this other, and just because this one is in a poverty stricken neighborhood, they're not getting anything. Put them all on equal level. But in terms of what they can get, the resources that they can have within the school, mm-hmm. so that you have this thing where kids have better equipment, they have better teaching, better tools, the teachers have a better pay, right? Everybody is actually doing better in this section, so that when it's time to go to college, these billionaires and companies now have a larger pool of people to pull from to work for them.
Mm.
And that's the incentive for a billionaire to do it. Mm. So now you're taking, so now, you know, you have like, you know, you can now match and be better off in terms of your employees being technically savvy about some things and all things,
mm-hmm.
compete worldwide, as opposed to just compete with the next motherfucker across the desk.
Yeah. Mm.
So I guess that's where to go.
All right. Thank you, Kirk. Mr. Rabbit, what's happening?
So, I think that wealthy people who back politicians who do not follow through on positive campaign promises should pull their money from those people and put it directly into that policy. So,
okay.
If right. I gave $10,000 to you because you said you were going to help the SNAP program, and you get in there and go, "Yeah, I'm not voting for that." Guess what? And that $10,000 I gave you, I'm going to go ahead and take that, and I'm gonna match it, and I'm gonna give it to the SNAP program.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay.
And the next time you come knocking my door, you get nothing.
You get nothing.
Because nothing. And I mean, I'm being very specific, because there are people, wealthy people, who put their money behind horrible people in hopes that those horrible things will happen.
Yes.
But if you have someone who genuinely put their money together to, like you guys said, help education, and this clown went to DC and did, and basically, I'm not voting for that. Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah.
And be public about it. Be like, listen, I decided I'm going to match what the education system is, and I will not be voting for this guy over here next year. He no longer has my support.
Right.
Mm.
You have the money to be bold like that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yep. You absolutely do.
Oh yeah. All right. Well, those were some great answers. And you know what? I'm actually kind of me personally, I'm actually leaning towards Mark. Even though you were
I lean towards all of us. I thought all the answers were really, really good.
All right. Well, you know what?
That. I said that.
It's a 3-way tie. That's the game.
Yeah.
I thought this was Highlander rules. I thought there could be only one.
Oh, we doing that? We doing that?
We were like that.
No,
Denise.
No.
Denise technically has the lead.
I'm sorry. I mean, you know what?
No.
Anyway, that closes out the game. And you know what? I just want to say, first of all, thank you. the three of you for entertaining that, because I know when I first mentioned it in the text message, the three of you were probably like, what the fuck is he talking about now? But
we always say that.
Yes, I know. But, you know, there was a very specific reason I felt that, you know, we would tackle that. And I mean, the submersible thing, you know, and not making fun of the tragic end of it, as Mark pointed out earlier, but it does bring to the forefront just the idea that, you know, you've got your Jeff Bezos and your Elon Musks, and they're flying up into space, and they're potentially harming the ozone and the climate change situation far more than, you know, and all of this just for the sake of hubris and you know, and like I said, and then you've got Elon Musk and how he's like done this unbridled change in Twitter to just make that worse. And it's and when you tack that on to something Kirk just hit on, which is these folks that go to Africa and India and they shoot these animals that actually need to be a part of an ecosystem and be left the fuck alone, just so they can have this like pose with this tiger or whatever the like. It's nonsense. It's utter bullshit. And, you know, it's something that really just kind of needs to be spoken about, like harder and stronger. And I think just by, I mean, and obviously other than sort of like getting you three to say some really brilliant stuff, I mean, there's nothing really that's going to come of this, but hopefully at least our listeners will kind of put this in the back of their minds. And next time they hear something like this, and it's not even so much about making fun of people. It's about correcting bad behavior, correcting selfish behavior, putting that on the table for us to all collectively consider and think about. And that's why we played Rich People Doing Better Things With Their Money. And that's the end of the game. That's the end of our show. Oh, but before we go, there, I believe there's some serious election shit happening locally, something that may affect small businesses or something like that. I'm not gonna, unless Kirk, you want to jump in real quick.
I think, I wonder if it passed already. It was something where they, I know there was something of that where they would raise the rent of
small stores,
small businesses, where they would have to frit the bill for the landlord or the building if they're going to renovate and some shit like that.
For property taxes, I think.
Something. It was a property tax.
It's something on that, on those lines. I don't even know why that. I don't even understand how that even came to be. Right. For small businesses, yes.
They would have to fit the bill on property taxes.
Oh, make no sense.
In a building. Yeah. Right.
So those of you that are here in New York and listening, yes. For those of you that are hearing this about this for the first time, second time, go out, educate yourselves real quick. Go to TikTok. The 27th. Yeah, right. The real source for news these days. I'm not mocking that. He's absolutely right, because that's how we found out that, you know, Putin's homeboy almost tried to coup his ass. That's not crazy. And you know what? Next week, maybe we'll discuss who this guy is, because, you know, Russia has nukes. And as horrible as Putin is, and he is horrible, what happens if we end up with somebody worse? That's, you know, but we'll save that for next week.
Nice.
We also may have a guest next week. I'm still working out the details on that. June 17th, small businesses are in danger. There's also a bunch of other stuff. There's a rumor Airbnbs may become illegal. Like, there's a lot of crazy shit going on. And folks in New York, y'all need to we need to get our heads wrapped around things. And I don't know, to a point that Mark Abbott has made in prior episodes, we may actually have not voted for the best guy's mayor.
That guy.
So there's that. More of that next week. But right now, we're going to close out. As always, Denise, Kirk, Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're out of here, folks. Beef Money Shenanigans. We will see you soon.
Have a safe week.